All right, Barker, you genius. You said this morning that maybe John Schneider would look at shuffling his batting order and dropping Bo Bichette into the seventh spot. We both agreed that it was probably not going to happen because it would just be too hard to sell. And then, of course, we get in the clubhouse today, and what do we see? Springer, Guerrero, Gurriel, Kirk, Chapman, Hernandez, Bichette, Espinel, Jackie Bradley Jr., Bo Bichette hitting in the seventh spot for the first time in his career. And it doesn't matter. The Jays lost 4-2 to the Baltimore Orioles, Kevin Barker. The Baltimore Orioles are 61-55. Your Blue Jays, Mr. Barker, are 61-54. Think about that. The Baltimore Orioles, in the middle of August, have as many wins as the Toronto Blue Jays have.
They're pitching
good.
Think about that. Well, they're pitching good. When you pitch good, it gives your offense a chance to scrap together some runs, some quality at bats. That's how you win baseball games. And, you know, it's a marathon season. It's not a sprint through the season. And the Blue Jays right now just not playing good baseball. Like, they're not getting enough hits. I mean, they got a good enough pitching tonight. If they would have had one hit there in the third inning with the bases loaded at better at bat, I talked about this today. We've talked about this the last week or so. Since they've been going through this, when your lineup's struggling the way the Blue Jays are, and now the word's out, obviously, that to throw to a bunch of right-handed hitters, you can do it with two pitches and do it away. And if you miss off the plate and force them to go the other way. If you can dink and dunk us the other way and beat us, we're going to tip our hat to you. But we bet you can't do that. And that's sort of the theme that they're going through. But it had to take one at bat, Jeff, and that was the at bat with Chapman with the bases loaded in the third inning. He takes two heaters right down the middle. I have no idea what you'd be looking for with the bases loaded, 0-0 count. Why would you be looking for a breaking ball? Why would you be looking for a dude's cutter when none of your buddies can hit it? Doesn't really make any sense to me. And then he has to obviously swing at the good cutter middle away. He rolls over to the shortstop. And basically after that, the game was over.
4-2 was the final. The Orioles will go for the sweep tomorrow afternoon. 3:07 first pitch. The Toronto Blue Jays can find themselves out of a wild card spot tomorrow, depending on the outcome of other games. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. Let's not waste any time. A lot of folks have called up. Barry in Brantford, you want to talk about the batting order that we saw today? You want to talk about Alejandro Kirk?
Am I live now, guys?
You are here. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jeff and Kevin. First off, I'd like to say you've made a lot of my days go really good when I've been driving, so I really appreciate that.
Nice.
But the one thing I don't understand is when you have two or three of the fastest guys on the team, why Kirk is hitting before these guys and just stopping everyone from going first to second or second to third. Like, he just seems like a base-to-base guy. And why did they ever, even when he was hot, put him third in the lineup? I just don't get it.
I mean, a couple of things. He is statistically one of their highest contact hitters, either the highest or second highest or third highest. He's one of their highest contact hitters. And I think that's, you know, that's largely part of the reason. But hey, you both, Kevin and I have said this. The problem with Alejandro Kirk is if he gets on first base, you know, you got to triple him home. I mean, that's basically it. And that is one of the problems when you have a guy who has one particular skill set, a very good skill set, mind you, not taking anything away from him, but when he has one particular skill set, and then with that, Kevin, comes the flip side that, yeah, if he's hitting at the top of your, anywhere near the top of your order, he better be hitting doubles for you. Because if he hits singles, I mean, it's, or even draws a walk, it's just not optimal. It really is.
I'll ask you and any caller that calls in, they've scored nine runs over the last five games. Pick your best four hitters. Is Alejandro Kirk one of them? Right now he is. That's why he's hitting cleanup. You like Lourdes Gurriel in the three spot. He's
no
protecting
problem with
Vladdy,
that,
which is a big deal. Alejandro Kirk, I mean, once I'm with the caller, I'm with you. perfect scenario, he's not there. You would much rather have him trying to drive in runs than being the guy being driven in, because that's going to be a very hard thing to do. But right now, Jeff, who else you putting up there? Like, you know, Bo Bichette, they moved him to the 7-hole because he's a 7-hole hitter right now. Teoscar Hernandez, his at-bats haven't been great here lately. You're moving him down. You're hoping that Matt Chapman stays hot. And, you know, when he's hitting the baseball the way he's been hitting it, he can hit some home runs. And you hopefully can get a couple of guys on like they did today in the third inning. It worked perfectly. A guy was coming up in a situation that mattered the most early in the game. For whatever reason, he had an – for me anyway, he had an atrocious approach. I don't know what else you look for. Like, why would you look for a dude's secondary pitch when nobody else can hit it? I just don't understand that. Look right down the middle. He threw you two of them, you took them, and now you have to swing at the pitcher's pitch, and you roll over and the inning's over and basically lost the game after that. But I just think John is picking his four best hitters, and that's how he's lining them up. You know who's hitting first and second. Now it looks like Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is hitting third. He's earned that spot. And Alejandro Kirk's probably your best one of your better hitters.
Kevin, that play at the plate tonight where Teoscar Hernandez throws the ball, it's a high hop, goes off of the glove of Alejandro Kirk. Now, Kirk originally got the error. It was changed to an error on Teoscar because for the official score, it have to count for the extra base, and the error goes to Teoscar Hernandez. That was a makeable play, though, for a catcher, was it not?
And that gets to the whole
thing with Alejandro Kirk, I think.
It's tough. That's a tough play. It's an in-between hop. That's a quick hop off the dirt.
Does Danny Jansen catch it?
It's very hard to tell. You know, maybe because he's a little taller, maybe it'd give him an opportunity to at least stay in front of the baseball. I know he's a little bit more bent over because he wants to catch it and do a little swipe tag, because now you obviously have to give him the lane to slide into home plate. It's a tough play. Like, it's a do or die. You either make it or you don't. And, you know, everybody, both parties, the right fielder and the catcher, for me anyway, did exactly what they were supposed to do. They just didn't end the play.
What you make of Alek Manoah tonight? 5 2/3, 4 walks, 7 strikeouts. The slider was effective at times. We saw that. And, you know, Adley Rutschman's home run came on, he swung at the slider the first time, swung over top of it, gets a similar pitch. It got too much of home plate. The result is a home run. But what did you take away from Alek Manoah's start tonight? Did you see a little more of what we need to see from Alek Manoah? Because you've been worried about the effectiveness of that slider over the past couple of starts, and I know Buck and Dan have been worried about it as well.
Well, it did look like the extra couple of days of rest hurt him velocity-wise. I mean, location, I guess. Yeah, he pitched behind all night, which is a problem. He faced 26 batters. He threw 11 strike ones. That's why you saw the pitch count at 107 pitches, because now it puts me on the offense if I'm a hitter, right? Now I can not chase the slider, the good one that has the late break to it. If I see it out of the hand, I can take it now, which means the counts are going to go deeper. That's why the pitch count went up. And the third time through, this is why analytics and all the smart people say it, you got to be on top of your game third time through. What third time through? You give up 3 hits, 2 homers, 2 walks, 4 runs. That's sort of what you're seeing, right? It's this time of the year. That's why they put a bunch of left-handed hitters against him to force him on the plate, make him use the changeup a little bit more, which he did. It was a decent pitch early in the game. But third time through, Jeff, you got to locate better. He didn't do that with the slider. The two-seamer that he tried to start at the hip, you know, that pitch has almost got to be perfect. If it doesn't have late break to it and the hitter gives up on it, it's going to go right into the barrel. And that's what, you know, that's what Mullins did. He hit the home run. And then, you know, Adley Rutschman, you know, the first time you saw him, you were wondering. Now, all of a sudden, man, he looks like he solidified that spot, and he's going to be a
pain in the ass for a decade. People in this division, isn't he? He's just going to be awful.
No doubt. No doubt. The way he calls games, the way he sets up, the way he can tell that a bunch of right-handed hitters for the Blue Jays don't like the ball away, how he sets them up. He'll get you looking in just enough to get you out of way. I mean, that's grown-up stuff. And, yeah, I'm with you. He's going to be a pain in the butt for a long time.
Sam from Hamilton, you want to talk about the catching?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, guys. Obviously, you know, it sucks to watch this team just keep struggling, keep grounding out to the shortstop. It feels like every ground ball goes to the shortstop. But when it comes to the catching, do you think it's time for Gabriel Moreno to get another chance? Because when it comes to Danny Jansen, I think we kind of know what Danny Jansen is at bat. And when it comes to Kirk, it just feels like his defense is regressing. So do you think it's time to call up Gabby and maybe make him the starting catcher now?
Oh, my God. Hell no. I mean, what do you want to just – you want to give away the do you want to just roll up the playoff carpet? I don't know what Gabriel Moreno showed you up here that made you think that he's ready to step in here and be an everyday catcher in a team that's going to the postseason. I mean, if he was that good, he'd still be up here. You know, Danny Jansen right now is a better defensive catcher. You know, some of the pitchers would rather, at least when he was up here, weren't all that happy throwing to Gabriel Moreno. You know, I mean, offensively, I don't know. How many home runs has he hit down in Triple A? Did he got three yet?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, let's give our heads a shake here. Right now, I will say this. You know, Kevin's talked about this with Alejandro Kirk. It's August. He's played a lot of baseball for him. He's a hefty dude. And I think his ability to shoulder a heavy catching load over 162 games. I mean, that's something we need to see. And ultimately, it'll be up to, you know, what the organization sees in him defensively. I'd be lying if I said I've been looking at his pitch framing metrics and noticed that there's been any great change. But, you know, let's put the brakes on Gabriel Moreno. Holy God. I mean, if anything, he's going to hit eighth in this lineup. I just don't want to go there yet.
I like Alejandro Kirk. It's like the Adley Rutschman first at bat where he wanted the slider and he pointed out front to tell Manoa to bounce it. That's big league stuff. Like, that's, you know, you don't want to give it away too soon, but you're telling your pitcher, hey, we're on the same page. This is where I want it. He gave it to him. He got the check swing. I like Kirky. Like, defensively, I like it. Now, offensively, hitting cleanup, look, right now they're trying to piece it together. Again, they're going to take the top four guys. It looks like they got the first three guys that they want.
Now everybody else is auditioning for that fourth spot.
There you go. You're trying to figure it out.
Not optimal in August, Kevin.
four through seven is a throw it against the wall and try and figure it out. That's what they're trying to do right now. And you know, they're in a rocky place. They're trying to figure some things out. Hopefully, George Springer can get hot, stay healthy. That would help a ton. Start hitting some home runs. Vladdy continue to do Vladdy things that he's been doing. He looks like he's a little bit more comfortable taking some pitches. You know, and then it's somebody else. Who's that somebody else going to be is the question.
Mark from Toronto in the text line. Is analytics and guessing counteracted natural talent? Chapman guessing wrong and two fastballs down the middle with bases loaded. That's not baseball. That's overthinking.
That's a great question. I find it hard to believe that a guy that's had success that he's had here lately would guess 0-0 with the bases loaded. Now, I do know he hammers secondary pitches, and that's a good pitch for him to get in the air, and that's what he's trying to do is he wants to, early in the count, drive something, get it in the air. He doesn't want to hit the ball on the ground, but, man, I mean, why wouldn't you be geared up? I think it was like 92, 93 miles an hour right down the middle. That's good hitting for a guy that's hot and is quiet at the plate, has a level swing now and has a decent approach up the middle the other way, keeps his barrel in the hitting zone long enough. Now it's just be ready to hit. Don't second-guess yourself. Don't overthink it. Go up and get your pitch and put your best swing on it, and then he takes two right down the middle, make you scratch your head. Again, we said this, Jeff. When your team's struggling the way they are, it's that one at bat, and tonight they didn't capitalize on it.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590, 590, 590 via the text line. Give us your name and location before we break. A little bit of an update on Julian Merriweather. Why not? Got to have some sort of optimism tonight. Julian Merriweather for the AAA Buffalo Bisons. Two innings pitched, two strikeouts, and a 5-2 win over Lehigh Valley. Sat 97-98, had a 10-pitch seventh inning. You know, Kevin, we've talked about the velo, the lack of swing and miss stuff in the Blue Jays bullpen. you know, I mean, this is the only guy they have in the minor leagues right now that seems to be anywhere near being able to contribute at any level. We all know about Julian Merriweather. I mean, you just can't count on him. But, I mean, I guess if you know, there may be a chance we may see him up here.
With all due respect, until you start reading that there's a left-handed hitter who knows how to hit the velocity and get the head out and be a run producer, what's Julian Merriweather going to do? Right now they need offensive guys who are left-handed, and they don't have any of those. Look, Julian Merriweather can go down there in the seventh inning and go three up, three down, and throw a slider all he wants to, because I know they've tried to eliminate the changeup and simplify it. You know, some of the sticky stuff where the late movement and the giddy-up on the heater that he used to have, and now he don't have it anymore. Look, it sounds good, but when would you use him? I mean, would you feel comfortable bringing him in and, like, Anthony Bass did tonight? I wouldn't. That's the question you got to ask yourself.
I'm with you. Come on, I tried to be a little optimistic. I tried to come up with something.
I mean, right now their bullpen's okay. It's not their bullpen. It's a couple of guys in the rotation, and it's their lineup.
4-2, the Baltimore Orioles have taken the first two games of this three-game series. The third game is tomorrow. It is a 3:07 start. Note the time. A 3:07 start. 2:30 in the TV side. And we'll be on the air here at 3:07. Let's take a break. Come back. Go back to your calls. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And now the Bet365 standings update. With Bet365, you can bet on things like player props, totals, or the money line across many different sports. 19+. Play responsibly. Ontario only. Let's take a look at the AL wildcard standings as they sit right now, with many games still being played. The Tampa Bay Rays, they've won four in a row. Beat the New York Yankees tonight 3-1. Yankees are almost as bad as the Jays when it comes to hitting. That could be a hell of a four-game series. In the Bronx coming up starting on Thursday. Tampa Bay is, as of right now, atop the wild card standings. They're 62-53. The Seattle Mariners, they're 63-54. They're a game ahead of the Toronto Blue Jays, who are 61-54. And I don't even know if I can get this out, Kevin. The Baltimore Orioles, 61-55. They're a half game out of the wild card on August 16th. Minnesota's 59-55. The Chi Sox 60-56. And games going on right now that involve teams in and around the wild card spot. As I mentioned, Tampa Bay beat the Yankees 3-1. The Angels are very early. They've got a 1-0 lead over Seattle. Houston's beating the White Sox 3-1 in a really good pitching matchup there. Dylan Cease against Justin Verlander. The Twinkies, they're all over Kansas City 7-0. And the Detroit Tigers are leading the Cleveland Guardians 4-3, of course, here at the Rogers Center in front of 37,940. The Baltimore Orioles administering a 4-2 setback to the Toronto Blue Jays. Again, I'm going to say it. The Orioles and the Jays, both teams have 61 wins heading into tomorrow's series finale. All right, Kevin, John Schneider mixed the order up. Does he stick with this for a while?
I would think so. I don't. Has anything that happened tonight change his mind? Absolutely not. Like, it's, again, you're trying to get your best hitters the most at bats, and this seems to be the way he can do it. And he's not afraid. Give him credit, man. I said it today on our show that this is probably the way it should look. And then I said it probably won't happen because, you know, it would be a tough sale. And you could tell he was already thinking it, and good for him. Like, you don't wait back. It's that, and he's trying to catch it before it, you know, it festers and gets out of control, and maybe he can get somebody up there that catches fire, and he's going to move around guys, and guys should get used to it. And, you know, so if you don't like it, if you're one of these players, Jeff, play better.
Brandon in Toronto on the text line wants to know, Espinal throwing out, stealing down two in the seventh, what are we doing? That was a hit and run with Raimel Tapia, who is one of your contact hitters, and did not make contact.
I agree with the texter. This is what I now I understand why John's doing it, because they're not scoring any runs again. They've scored 9 runs in 5 games. He's trying to, you know, do everything he can to put pressure on a defense, but it's a tough sell for a guy like Toppy, who's been sitting over there for 2.5 hours, who's never faced Kramer before, and you ask him to go up and execute a hit and run. It's a hard thing to do. I've tried to do it. It's impossible, even for Tapia.
That's why I wanted to ask you about that. It was a pinch hit appearance, and you've done your fair share of pinch hitting, and you've talked about how hard it is, and I wanted to ask you that. Now, it's one thing when you go up as a pinch hitter and basically you try to get a hit. Now you got to try to make contact. It's a tough ask. I mean, you've been there and done it. It's not the easy. It's not simply a matter of go up and throw your bat and the ball and away we go, is it?
It's like sitting on your couch for 2.5 hours watching a movie and then getting up and trying to run to your car. It's not the easiest thing to do. It's hard. You're stiff. Your body parts don't want to move in all the right directions. Not to top you as an elite athlete. Look at him. But it's not the easiest thing to do. But, again, I get what John Snyder's trying to do. You know, again, it's like challenging the pickoff at first base. If you don't challenge that, because for me anyway, that looked like an obvious safe call. If you don't challenge that, now you can challenge the top of your ground out at first base. And maybe you got George Springer coming up with a runner on first base that could go back Lake City. Again, I'm second-guessing all these moves because
they're losing so many games. They've been pretty good with challenges.
They have.
They've been pretty good with challenges.
But it is – you can tell there's some urgency. And John Snyder has mentioned that it's not early anymore. You got to do what you got to do, and you got to do it in a hurry, and you're starting to see a little bit of that. But
it has become John Schneider's favorite word, urgency or urgent, the past couple of days. He said it again today in his pregame media availability. Should mention, I thought we'd be able to go through a whole show without mentioning Yusei Kikuchi. So if you're driving your car, please pull over to the side. But he was asked by, I believe it was by Arden Zwelling, what the pitching plans are for New York. He's committed to Gossman in New York. He's committed to Berríos in New York. And after that, well, we'll just have to see. There are several options.
I'm going to raise my hand and say there's no chance you could do that. The way their team's going right now, the way they're having issues scoring runs, what would tell you that Yusei Kikuchi will give you a chance of winning a baseball game? Nothing.
Depends if the GM gives them a chance to make that decision. Tony and Maple. You're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Tony?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Always like your shows. Excellent.
Thank you.
About the Jays, you know, I've been following the Jays a long time, and I love baseball. The proof's in the pudding, gentlemen. And now, no one seems to be talking about Shapiro and Atkins. They've had 7 years to rebuild this team. 7 years today, the Jays of 2015, in my opinion, were a better club all around. When you're depending on Merriweather and Pearson, because they could throw 97, when MLB, your closers throw over 100, you're not competitive. When you don't have left-handed bats, you're not going to be competitive. When you don't have players at this level that can execute without all of these errors, running, throwing, you're not at the level of the Houstons and the Dodgers and whatnot. So what did they do this year? Nothing. Those top clubs, what did they do? A lot. So guys, you know what? The players can only do what the God-given talents they have. The coaches can only work with what they have. You got to supply what we need. And thus far, they haven't delivered.
A couple of things I'll say about that. The 2015 team was at the end of its, basically at the end of its run, the end of its rope, right? 2015, 2017, it was kind of the, I mean, that was the end of it. The 2015 team was a one-shot deal by Alex Anthopoulos. Alex knew he wasn't going to be back. It was a one-shot deal. He went in. Look, I still think if Brett Cecil doesn't get hurt, the Blue Jays at least go to the World Series.
No
maybe
question.
Win the World Series. I will go to my grave thinking that that injury cost the Blue Jays at least Series berth. This is when Mark Shapiro took over, his charge was different than that of Alex Anthopoulos's. He was charged with setting up the type of minor league system that would keep the team's window of opportunity open for multiple years. He was charged with building on what we saw in 2015 from the fans, TV ratings, things of that nature. He was also charged with trying to figure out what the hell to do with the Rogers Center. In the past couple of years, I think it's safe to say that getting involved, well, Rogers took over, I think, a lot of the planning for the new building. But that, I think, occupied a lot of Mark's time. And as for, you know, as for Ross Atkins, look, I mean, I would suggest that Bo Bichette and Teoscar Hernandez haven't made the best of their God-given talents this year, to be quite honest. I mean, I can't put it any other way. I don't think Jose Berríos has made the best of his God-given talents. I think when you take a step back, Kevin, a look on balance at the moves these guys have made, most of them have worked out. You look at the contracts. The Hyunjin Ryu contract, that served a purpose. I had no problem with that. You could maybe talk about the Kenrys Morales deal. I don't know if that ever really set you back. The Issei Kikuchi contract, that's a puzzler. That is a real puzzler. But beyond that, this front office has done a good job of assembling the type of lineup that you can roll over for a couple of years. But, and Kevin, this is where I'm going to turn it over to you, it does surprise me that for two off seasons now, they have failed to deliver the type of left-handed bat they admit they need. I mean, we saw that when they went out to sign Michael Brantley. We saw that when they tried to acquire Jose Ramirez, who, yes, I know Jose Ramirez is a switch hitter and he's a franchise player, but what I'm saying is one of the reasons they wanted him was to bring balance to this lineup. What bothers me about where we are right now is this is a fundamentally flawed team with a lot of the same flaws that we saw 2 years ago. That bothers me.
So you're saying Tony's right. Tony's exactly right. You know, they are relying a lot on trickery out of the bullpen, which most good teams don't do that. In right. a marathon season, it's hard to add and subtract with trickery, different arm angles. Now, you got to have a couple of those sprinkled in, but it can't be a full bullpen of that and, you know, lack of experienced guys that you're calling up from Triple-O who, quite frankly, aren't good enough to be at the big league level in a championship season. I mean, and I'm with you. The left-handed bat, they make a decent pitcher look great because they're very right-handed.
Look, something happened with Michael Brantley. They thought they had him signed, whether they were used by the agent or used by the Astros, whatever. They thought they
He's
had
not
him
here.
Signed. He's not here. Jose Ramirez, they wanted to trade. Hey, everybody wanted to trade for Jose Ramirez. I don't think they had a plan B. And, you know, if you want to be critical of that, at the same time, though, they drafted a guy in Alec Manoah who got up to the major leagues pretty damn fast. And that's what I say. When I look at the moves that have been made on balance, I think the ledger is way more on the plus side, but the problem is it looks like the fundamental flaw in the construction of this team is the thing that's that ultimately will drag it down, and that is a lack of balance. And, you know, yes, I know statistically the bullpen is not, you know, statistically the bullpen has been decent. I get all that. It's been very good at times against I get that, but I keep getting back to this. Yeah. You're not going to take this bullpen over any of the other teams contending bullpens right now when push comes to shove. You're just not.
No, you could argue also that this lineup, probably with the pitching that they would face, who is probably right-handed, won't go very far. It's right in front of you. You're the GM of this team. There's no question what you need in the offseason. You need more left-handed hitters, and you need more power out of the bullpen. It's real simple. I mean, it's not like you need somebody smart to come up and say, hey, oh, by the way, you need a couple of left-handed hitters. Just come out and watch them play. I mean, it's real simple. So at least they got that to hang their hat on, that now there's no question of what they need going into the offseason, trying to correct this. And I think we can all agree that this is not a finished product. They got a little ways to go here to get Vladdy some help, to get George Springer some help, to, you know, get Bo Bichette some help, to whatever's going to happen to Teoscar. Like, there's some moves that need to be made to to make this team a little bit better, who can compete against the best teams in baseball, not the bad teams.
In the meantime, let's enjoy the ride as much as we can. The Jays are still in the wild card picture. They've got a soft part of the schedule coming up after the Yankees and Red Sox. Let's just hope that those, at that point when the soft part of the schedule rolls around, that they're still within sniffing distance of the wild card spot. I believe, despite how things may look right now, I believe that they will be.
Yes, Jeff! Distance. Within sniffing distance.
Anyhow, that's all I got. 4-2, the Baltimore Orioles beat the Toronto Blue Jays. Blair and Barker tomorrow from 10 to noon on Sportsnet 590 and Sportsnet 360. Thanks for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, served up by the always game-ready Jack Link's Meat Snacks. Feed your wild side, baseball fans.